Welcome to the Hidden Palace with Skyblaze.
Good morning, afternoon, evening or night, wherever you are in the world. I'm Skyblaze and this is the Hidden Palace here on Radio Sega. So, as we all know, any movie that comes out, there is a pretty good chance that it's at some point going to get a video game adaptation. Or spin-off, or that sort of thing. And either way, the name of a movie will be slapped on a video game at some point. It's also fairly well known that quite a lot of these are not very good. There are some exceptions, such as The Lion King and Aladdin, both on the Mega Drive. So, for this show, I'm going to be taking a look at a few games to see if they were as good as their respective movies. Of course, this is the Hidden Palace. So I'm going to be looking at some more of the slightly more obscure examples. So hello to people who are in the Discord chat. Who have we got? We've got Resident SD, Nicholas Herman, My Husband Greyfall, Very Max. Is that Veritex? I assume so. Not sure who else is around, but give me a wave if you want me to say your name on the air. So, first thing that I'm going to talk about today is a movie called Cliffhanger, which is a movie that was released in May 1993, starring Sylvester Stallone, who played as a guy called Gabe, a ranger based on in the Colorado Rockies, as he attempts to thwart some terrorists who are after quite a lot of money in uncirculated bills and are holding his friend Hal hostage. Oh, hello, Twinny. Twinny, I think, is going to be doing our social media today. They're usually excellent at the job, so thumbs up for Twinny. But yeah, the video game version of Cliffhanger, you play as Gabe as he attempts to locate three cases to save Hal's lives. Presumably the cases have got money in them, I guess. It's released on the Mega Drive in November 1993. You start playing and immediately, well, it becomes obvious that it's quite a lot like Streets of Rage. You face off against various goons, punching and kicking, as well as attacking with knives or even guns, which you can collect by as collectibles throughout the level. Then you find that you can jump, and soon you'll need to use that skill to jump over various pits in order to proceed. Other sections of the game have you climbing cliff faces while avoiding gunfire, presumably in tribute to the name Cliffhanger. Also, boulders and falling piles of snow will be coming down to try and knock you off your cliff. You also have levels where you're running away from an avalanche of snow or a cloud of bats. Alright. Avoiding rocks which block your path and fallen trees that you have to jump over. So, I've had quite a few requests for music today, actually. I did manage to find music for nearly all of the things that I'm going to be talking about today. Not all of them are very good, but Cliffhanger's alright. I found a version, I've got the Mega CD version of the music here, as well as there was a Game Gear version as well, so I've got some music for that in the next music block. But for now, let's have Cliffhanger on the Mega CD. That was track number 3. And then, requested by Electric Boogaloo, our first request for tonight, we've got Ghostbusters on the Mega Drive, second case, Apartment. So enjoy those, let me know what you think, and I'll speak to you guys again after the break.
Thank you.
And we are back. And that was Ghostbusters for the Mega Drive. Second case, Apartment, requested by Electric Boogaloo. Before that we had Cliffhanger for the Sega CD, track number 3. And just joining us in the chat, we've got Superbike, S-Mania 999, Electric Boogaloo, and Frostgamer 98. Frostgamer says that they were distracted from joining the start of the show because they were playing Streets of Rage 4, which, as excuses go, that's a pretty good one, I feel, yeah. Back to Cliffhanger then. When you reach the end of each section, you'll see Gabe warm his hands at a small campfire before the game moves you to the next section. At the end of each level, you'll encounter one of three cases, and then afterwards the following levels end with a boss fight in the form of one of each of the terrorists. Along with the Mega Drive version, as I mentioned earlier, there was a Mega CD / Sega CD version, which added in video clips and replaced the music with music from the movie, which is what you just heard. The sound effects also had a considerable improvement over the Mega Drive version, and along with these changes, they also added a snowboarding level to try and show off the capabilities of the Mega CD. In this level, you spend a whopping 8 minutes boarding down a hill, avoiding increasing levels of obstacles. Now, a level like that, you want maybe 2, maybe 3 minutes? 8 is insane. After doing that long a level over and over again, trying to get it right, you're liable to throw the game off a cliff. Oh dear. What's going on in the chat? Grey4 is boasting that he's off work for the next week. Because it is actually our wedding anniversary, in a couple of days. So, yeah, that's the thing. Not sure what we're going to do for it, really, because, you know, lockdown and everything. I'm sure we'll think of something, order pizza or something, I don't know. Let's have some more music. So, from the Game Gear version of Cliffhanger, we've got the cutscene theme. And then after that, requested by Frostgamer98, we've got, from Aladdin on the Mega Drive, A Whole New World. So... Oh, Superbike saying happy anniversary. Oh, thank you, Superbike, that's very sweet of you. But yeah, it's, May the 4th is our wedding anniversary. We got married on Star Wars Day. Grateful saying 7 years married and I'm still alive. I don't know how. You pay the rent, dear. Anyway, let's have some music and I'll speak to you guys again after the music break.
Sega, playing the best Sega music, 24/7. Sega!
Mm-hmm.
back. And that was Aladdin on the Mega Drive, A Whole New World, requested by FrostGamer98. And before that, we had Cliffhanger for the Game Gear cutscene theme. Now, following on from Cliffhanger, but now for something completely different, Wayne's World. It's another game that was released on the Mega Drive in 1993. You play as Wayne, as he and Garth were drawn into the video game world by some mysterious force as they were playing video games at their local arcade. Garth is then kidnapped by some weird purple appendage thing, and apparently it's up to Wayne to rescue him. It plays like quite a lot of other platformers of the era, but it's not good. Wayne's character model, it just looks kind of deformed. The head is grossly out of proportion to the rest of the body, and they're trying for that kind of like super deformed thing, but it just looks off. He just looks horrifying. Maybe that was the best that the Mega Drive could do? I don't know, but it didn't work well. It just looks hideous. As you play through the game, you collect icons with a thumbs up on it, which increase the number of hits you can take. Upward pointing arrow icons, which give you a screen-wide attack, which will kill each enemy on screen. As well as power-ups, which change your attack. How do you attack? With your guitar and the power of, quote, swing, according to the game's blurb. I can't really say a great deal about the general mechanics to this game because it is quite painful to watch and listen to. The backgrounds are incredibly noisy, the sound effects are repetitive and irritating and play way too often, the overall gameplay is terrible, and the bits I skip through to see what else happens, you'll take Wayne through various levels loosely relating to scenes in the movie, with appropriately themed enemies. At the end of each level you catch up with Garth, only to have him snatched away by a goopy purple arm. Again. After completing the final level of each stage, you'll face against a boss, and then have to face a cutscene of Wayne and Garth back in the studio discussing stuff before returning to the game. At the end of the game, you face off against Xandar, the purple gelatinous cube which has Garth trapped within itself. You then get to enjoy another scene from Wayne and Garth as they ramble on about more nonsense for 5 more minutes. This is not a good game, guys. I mean, there are worse out there, but it's still not good. I think the thing that offends me the most is there are a couple of like classic rock tracks that are associated with the Wayne's World film. One of them being Bohemian Rhapsody and the other one being Stairway to Heaven. They tried to reproduce these in the soundtrack. It did not go well. I wasn't originally going to play any of the tracks from this game because they are that bad. But what I'm going to do is I'm going to play a bit of Wayne's World's adaptation of Bohemian Rhapsody. Only a bit, mind you, because I don't want to torture you. I'm fairly sure that like Geneva Convention will be in touch if I played all of it. But after you get the general idea about how bad it is, I will play a bit of 8-Bit Universe's chiptune version of Bohemian Rhapsody so you can hear what a good version of Bohemian Rhapsody on a console is meant to sound like. And after that, we'll have a request from Nicholas Amann, which is The Incredibles Rise of the Underminer opening scene. So let me know what you think of these, and if you're as horrified as I am by the Wayne's World track. So here we go. Enjoy, in inverted commas. We'll be right back. That was the incredible rise of the Incredibles, rather, Rise of the Underminer, the opening scene that was requested by Nicholas Herman. And before that, we had 8-Bit Universe, their version of Bohemian Rhapsody, chiptune version in 8-bit. And before that, that terrible, terrible rendition of Wayne's World for the Mega Drive, Bohemian Rhapsody. I think general consensus was that the Wayne's World version was awful. I mean, particularly when it gets to the bit that's supposed to be the heavy guitars, and it just goes into... Well, I don't know what key that is, but it's not the right one. However, 8-Bit Universe, their version of Bohemian Rhapsody was awesome, so... good work there, guys. Now then, moving on. Lastly, we have a game that came out for the Saturn! Congo the Movie, The Lost City of Jinj. I don't know what Jinj is, but... so it's not quite nice to say, Jinj. As released in 1996, you play the role of Butembo Kabalo, a survivor from the initial expedition into the Congo, which the protagonist in the movie was sent to locate. Once you get through the initial intro movie showing your protagonist leaving messages for someone at Travicom to find, you're taken into the game. Gameplay is effectively quite a lot like Doom. You travel through a level shooting at enemies as they try to complete objectives and reach the end of the level. And I should loop my talkback. Okay. On the bottom left of the screen, you'll have a health bar similar to the one that you'd see in Resident Evil, with your heartbeat showing weaker and weaker with the more damage you take. That's not actually quite how it works, but never mind. Below this will be your ammo supply for whatever weapon you currently happen to be wielding at the time, such as the pistol, shotgun, or machine gun. To the far right of those, you'll see a mini-map, which will leave a yellow trail to show where you've been. That's very useful if you're like me and get lost easily. While this appears useful to start with, as the level requires you to backtrack at numerous points, this can cause some confusion, and with you getting lost at various points. Doom. The enemies are where the game starts to take a little bit of creative license, as the film mainly centres around silverback gorillas. The game, however, includes golden spiders, totems, twin-headed snakes, and 10-pound mosquitoes. Because you see those a lot in the Congo, I guess. At the end of each level, you come across a little satellite relay, presumably where Caballo records his logs. You'll then get a results screen showing how many diamonds you've picked up. Okay. Which are rewarded with... which are scattered randomly throughout each level. If you manage to reach everything that each level has to offer, you'll be rewarded with extra ammo and backpacks, which increase your ammo carry capacity. When you manage to complete the game, you're presented with a newscaster explaining how Travacom, the company which sent Caballo into the jungle to search for diamonds in the first place, has been taken over by Caballo thanks to the wealth he accrued from all those diamonds he collected. So, I guess... Yeah, I can see where they were going with this up until a point. It's when they start pulling out, like, the living totems and the 10-pound mosquitoes and the two-headed snakes that I start getting a bit confused. What's the chat talking about? Superbike's saying that he must be getting old. He's bought a golf game. Golf Club 2019 featuring PGA Tour. Okay. I did get a golf game myself, but it's Golf Story, the golf RPG that's on the Switch, which has actually got quite a sweet story. I'm not very good at it because I'm not very good at golf games, and you still have to actually be able to play the golf bit of the game to get to the story. But never mind. And SMania999 saying, I just bought Pebble Beach Golf Links for Saturn. They're not really my thing, but because I find golf to be one of the most spectacularly boring things ever devised. I agree with my friend Daniel on this one. I think it's one of those sports that could be improved by the addition of landmines. I'm going to move on before I talk myself into any more trouble. Let's have some music. I did find some music for Conga the Movie, but it's from the SNES version, not the Saturn version, because I could not find the music for that, for love nor money. So, Conga the Movie for the SNES, at least it's some music. The title theme, and then the second of our requests from Electric Boogaloo, we've got The Lost World Jurassic Park for the Game Gear. That's BGM number 4. So enjoy those, and I'll be back after the music break for Chiptune Corner.
The best Sega music, live shows, and the chance to request your favorites. This is RadioSega.net. Sega.
And Electro Boogaloo just said, is it me or am I not hearing anything? And I had a minor heart attack, so thank you for that. Because I thought the stream had fallen over again. But I hope we're fine. Hope we're fine. Everything's fine. Anyway. Moving on. That was... where the hell am I? The Lost World Jurassic Park for the Game Gear, BGM number 4. That was requested by Electric Boogaloo. And before that, we had Congo the Movie for the SNES, the title theme. Congo the Movie didn't have the best soundtrack, but it was alright, but it wasn't particularly impressive. Anyway, moving on to Chiptune Corner, because I'm running out of time. Hopefully, one of my favourite chiptuners, BitShifter, recently did a Twitter thread detailing some awesome chiptune albums and EPs that people can enjoy during the lockdown. One of these was by French artist Ultracid, who recently rescued and remastered an EP called Chipsters from a defunct music label. The album is Pay What You Want on Bandcamp, and I will put a link to it on the Discord chat. When... it decides to work. Come on, you useless. Sorry, Firefox is being difficult. There we go. Right. So there is the EP. It's Pay What You Like, so pay as much or as little as you want. There's some really nice tracks on it. I'm going to highlight just one of them for you today, but be sure to give some more of them a listen. So this is from Ultracid, Silly Venture. Let me know what you think of it. And I'll speak to you guys again after this music track. Was Ultracid with Silly Venture. I think that's really a really good track and I really enjoy it. Be sure to listen to the rest of the album if you get the chance, and obviously buy it if it takes your fancy. People in the chat are talking about various songs that have sampled bits of video game music. A couple of people pointed out that there was an advert for Ariston, the white goods company, that had a used the music from the Game Boy version of Robocop for some reason. And apparently, according to Resident SD, the melody to the Janet Jackson song Together Again is taken from the Bridge Zone theme from 8-Bit Sonic 1. Alright! I already mentioned the kind of other side of it the other week with the music from Turrican 2 being taken from Transformers the Movie. And there is I can't remember who the artist is, but there's a song called Swamp Thing that was a techno song that came out in the 90s, which samples the Spin Dash sound. There's a bit in the song that it goes, keen, keen, all right. And then you can hear the Spin Dash sound, and it's very, very distinctive. Anyway. Now, Frostgamer98 saying, I thought the Janet Jackson thing was common knowledge. It doesn't hugely surprise me, but I've not heard that one specifically. I know all sorts of weird things get sampled. Bits of Knight Rider have been sampled in a rap song. There's bits of a Yes song. It's not Close to the Edge. Which one is it? It might be Siberian True, actually. That's been sampled in again, a hip-hop song again. It's like, what? But music is very odd. Anyway, that's pretty much it from me for today. So thank you to everybody who's tuned in today. I've not decided on what the topic next week is going to be, so I'm accepting ideas from all of you lovely people, which you can send to me through the Radio Sega, Facebook or Twitter, or you can contact me on the Radio Sega Discord, where you'll find me, I'm Skyblaze, or you can contact me through my personal Twitter, where I'm at Blazing Skies. Coming up next, there'll be Saturday Night Sega with Gavi, and tomorrow, of course, there'll be Sega Mixer Drive Live with Rex's selection of tunes. Be sure to check out RadioSega.net for the rest of the schedule, because we've got loads of stuff going on during the week. So, one last track to go out on. I'm going to play the Gale Racer opening movie. I've been Skyblaze, this has been The Hidden Palace here on Radio Sega. Take care, everybody. Good night.
Enjoyed the show? Check out the full Radio Sega live schedule at radiose.ga/shows. Radio Sega, playing the best Sega music 24/7.